everybody, welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast, and we are so excited today. This is an amazing day for our podcast. I'm Rachel. Amber's here.
Hello, everybody.
And are you just pinching yourself right now, Amber?
Oh yeah, honestly, I'm freaking out. I know we talked about how, like, oh my goodness, I love Paul Campbell and I love Kimberly Sestad, and I know people like maybe understand, but
Amber, I think you do this every single time. I think you do this with all of the Hallmark actors.
It is not.
I'm going to go through. I'm going to listen to every podcast. And if you say the same thing on the whole way through, I'm calling you. I'm calling you back.
You'll see. If you listened to every podcast, you'd be like, wow, she actually talks about us so much.
Here's an idea, first Kimberly. Why don't you go listen to every podcast right now and let me take this?
First of all, you calling Amber would be like her most exciting day of her life. So that would really work.
No.
I just did a Hunks of Hallmark podcast, and Amber's number one was
Kimberly Sestad.
It was Kimberly Sestad. She's stuck in there with all the hunks.
Wait, I missed the answer to that question. Who was number one?
It was you. I picked you as my number one.
Yeah.
Wow. I am honored.
Specifically, you in Once Upon a Holiday.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. When you're a carpenter who fixes stuff.
Right, we're talking about hunks and Hallmark?
Yes.
Listen, no, I get it. I would say that was my hunkiest movie too.
I know hunks.
You're pretty hunky in this one.
You haven't seen Godwin Christmas yet.
Wow, he's
super hunky at it.
Yeah, he really does.
So we obviously have Paul Campbell, Kimberly Sestad on this interview. We're so excited. This is amazing. So you have your new movie coming up. This week, we're going to have a God Week's Christmas, and so we definitely wanted to talk to you, and so this is very exciting. So can one of you guys tell us a little bit about the plot of the movie, or what's going on with the movie, without any spoilers?
You want me to take this? Do you want to take, Kimberly's the star of the movie, you want to take this?
But you're a really great writer, so what?
Okay, I'm a little more polished here. This is a movie that was produced based on a story that the Squire Rushell and Louise Duart had recorded about some friends of theirs, Paula and Gary, who run the Charlotte Inn in Martha's Vineyard. And it's based on, and I think pretty true to life, the way that Paula and Gary met and fell in love. And it's sort of about the romantic chase of these two people finding each other and the unusual circumstances that sort of drove them together time and time again.
That was good. That was really good.
Thank you. I'm reading straight from
I mean, it wasn't, I didn't find it like full of passion or anything, but that was decent.
I have another take in Spanish that is much more passionate.
I don't know. I'm sold, Amber. Are you sold?
I mean, okay, it's not fair because it could have been like Paul Campbell and Kimberly Sestad sit in a room and look at each other quietly for 2 hours, and I'd be like, this is going to be the best movie of Christmas.
Oh, that is actually the plot of the movie.
Oh, that is actually what happened.
Perfect.
We're just staring at each other.
To be fair, it's only an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, you're right. Commercials, I forgot.
So can you explain, maybe Kimberly can explain this one, what is a God wink?
Instead of them using coincidences or luck, their terminology for that in this movie would be a God wink, where time stands still for a minute, and in this script, God intervenes and sort of changes the direction of these two people, and a lot of other people too that are sort of circling in the movie as well. So it what would be a coincidence,
it's like, or a divine coincidence,
would be a God wink, where
something too unusual and too important to ignore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it makes sense.
So like a little miracle. Do you believe in these kind of miracles? Do you think that these kind of things happen?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I think we absolutely. Yeah.
We've both had things happen in our lives that have been, you know, I'm a little slow on the uptake sometimes, so I need to be bashed over the head with it. But yeah, sometimes, particularly looking back at certain things, having a little perspective, it's much easier to identify. Sometimes when you're in the moment, maybe you don't recognize it. But looking back, I can say multiple times in my life, wow, that was something telling me something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. There's definitely things in life that we do not understand and that we can't explain. And mm-hmm. I agree. I don't know. What do you think, Amber?
Yeah, I'm all for the, like, you know, grand scheme of things, like divine intervention. Let's go for it. I need some divine intervention in my life, so I'm definitely going to believe in it. Just hoping for some divine intervention.
What a God wink is a divine intervention, and just taking note of those in our life where if we can stop and think, and bring it full circle, we can sort of, it's an invitation, right? To move, to stop, to listen, to do whatever it is that the heart sort of telling you. But exactly that, divine intervention is a great way of sort of describing that.
Well, and sometimes it's just a small thing, like, you know, somebody will think to call you just the time when you needed a call, you know, or it's not always a huge miracle. Sometimes it's just a little tender mercy, sometimes we like to say.
I agree. I think the idea here is that we could stop and smell the roses a little bit and maybe take note of things a little more and pay more attention. And I don't know, maybe just sort of trust our instincts a little bit and not ignore messages that are coming in from places that maybe we wouldn't otherwise be getting them.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate those things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So could you tell us a little bit about each of your characters in the movie?
Yeah. So I play Paula, who is, she works as, she works with antiques, and basically she works in an auction house and people bring in their antiques and she prices them essentially, and just has a love of that, which I feel like Hallmark has a lot of those employees. You're like a pet store owner or antiquer, pottery maker,
just regular folk,
a bank, yeah, just like
a bank robber. Oh, bank, USA bank teller. Yeah
you are on Movies and Mysteries, so.
Yeah, right.
No, that's true. Yeah, which is odd.
Yeah,
for this I don't know why it's on Movies and Mysteries, but I think we're breaking new ground over there.
Well, they're like, I don't know where to put this movie.
Yeah.
Well, they have the season of miracles, and since this is about miracles, it probably that's why.
Yeah, I guess. I think, you know, it's interesting that the miracle, to me, the idea of a miracle is something entirely separate from the notion of a God wink. Mm-hmm. And the God wink was a name that Squire came up with to sort of
describe. They were his books.
No, I know, but I mean, he coined the phrase God wink to describe these circumstances that needed a name, things that you couldn't ignore, right? So, but I don't think you would call them miracles. I think it's a message, it's something.
That's a good point, because a miracle, you don't want to get the wrong interpretation of, they really are winks.
It's a push, and it's a little tap on the shoulder, a miracle is something inexplicable.
Like a healing, something like that.
Yeah.
None of that's happening in this movie, but there are sort of small things that bring people together small moments in time that
and one massive storm that moves in for absolutely no reason.
Oh yeah, that's true. There is that. Wow. I totally forgot about that. There is one giant circumstance that pushes us together. But
all right, I think we can all agree we do have a place in the miracles of Christmas. I'm not trying to talk myself out of it. I don't want to get into the
You know what? Fine, ladies. It's a miracle, okay? All right.
No, we can check off giant storm off of our Christmas bingo. Yeah. That'll be good.
Giant fog.
Oh, fog.
Yeah, it's a giant. Oh, it's a giant storm. It's a fog.
It's a fog.
I think it's a fog storm. Technically, I don't know how it's tracking. It's like, I think somebody says, "Holy crap, a fog storm."
Yes. And you say, "Well, what do you say?"
I say, "Not another fog storm." And they're like, "Paul, just say the line. Say the line properly. It's just not more fog." And I say, "Okay, not more fog."
You kept trying to change the line. Like when I came out of the airport, you're like, "What was the thing that you said?"
I kept trying to say, "It's going to bear no relevance to this conversation."
But did you say what was it?
It was, "Or a fog rolls in."
Oh yeah.
Or a fog rolls in. I was making a joke. It's going to be really tough to follow the thread of that, but trust me, we are laughing on this side of the phone.
Yeah.
And then every time I would do that line, they'd go, "Hey, that was good. Can you do the one that's
trying?" Well, I think the point of the story is he's really trying to be funny, and every time he was trying, people were like, "Okay, so can we just do the line as written? Okay, thanks, Paul."
I'd like to make a special note here. If that line ends up in the cut of this movie,
you win.
Completely vindicated.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Nice. And you can title this podcast Paul Campbell Champion.
Yeah, wow. We could just I could leave.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul Campbell Champion, Kimberly Sesten supporting role.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No. Really. Really though.
So
I'm glad we got that. Yeah.
So Paul, tell us about your character.
Okay. My name is Paul Campbell, and in the movie A Godwink Christmas, I play a character named Gary Conover, based on the real life gentleman Gary Conover. Gary Conover is he's a really interesting guy. I would love to meet him, and hopefully one day I can. When he was in his 30s, he decided he was done with working in finance and that he wanted to go back to his fall back in his old skill set and work with his hands. So he moved to Martha's Vineyard and he bought the Charlotte Inn and he remodeled it himself. And then he spent the next
restored it.
Refurbished. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Refurbished. These are all synonyms. So sorry, Kimberly's got a little separate English lit project she's working on over here. I told her to just put the pen down for a second, but anyway, you are correct. And then he spent like the next year just trying to sweep this dear Paula off her feet. Did it take a year? It took like 3 days in our movie, but I think it was longer than that.
Well, it says on...
You didn't read the book?
It says on Hallmark that you are a charming inn owner. So
a charming inn owner.
He is very charming.
I am such an inn owner in this movie.
You had the charm working 24/7.
He's got to. He has nothing
else
going for him.
Gorgeous. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Charlotte Inn. It's on Martha's Vineyard. But it's a real place where presidents stay, and it's quite a spectacular sort of boutique hotel. And that's where this movie takes place. So it is Paula and Gary do actually own this inn.
To this day, they're
there right now.
Mm. So did you shoot it on Vancouver Island?
No.
Okay. No, we Gibson. Shot at Gibson's, which is not actually an island, although it feels like an island. You have to take a ferry to get there.
Yeah.
The inn was not on the island or on the what felt like an island. The inn was in Langley, British Columbia.
I know.
Okay.
So yeah.
It's gorgeous though. It's the most unexpected little sort of colonial style home that somebody built.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
In this rural farm area just outside of Vancouver, and it plays perfectly. It's not quite the same. It's not quite as gorgeous and meticulously taken care of as the Charlotte Inn, but it's nice. Mm-hmm. It plays well.
Cool. Great. That's fun.
Wow. That was good, Paul.
I honestly,
that was really
my
good.
My mind drifted off somewhere in the middle of that.
I fell asleep.
I don't know what I was doing.
Then, repurposing that house in your mind and trying to turn it into the Charlotte Inn.
We were just kind of wanted like a character synopsis, but.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm going to take a back seat for a second here and let Kimberly do a little talking.
So, Kimberly, so who plays the wrong guy in this, the one that she gets engaged to at the beginning? At least it says on Hallmark.
Giles Stanton.
Oh!
Nice.
Sorry.
We are big fans of Giles' work. He's an excellent wrong man, so good job.
Where does he fall in the hunks of Hallmark list? Just out of curiosity.
He's not on that.
You're a number one. You're number one hunks of Hallmark?
No, according to
Amber,
our host. Amber.
Yeah. Well, according to everybody.
Nope.
Wait till you see him in this vintage car. We should post that photo.
This is very exciting.
What's the car?
It's a Buick Riviera. It's like a mid-60s Buick Riviera. It's
beautiful.
Gorgeous. I tried to take it home in my carry-on luggage. And they caught me.
Anyway, Giles Penn, sorry to get off your hunks of Hallmark again.
Yeah. Plays Mr. Wrong.
Plays Mr. Wrong. He's like a high-powered lawyer. Does that give it away? Right at the beginning of the movie, we get engaged.
Well, it's on the Hallmark Reddit page, so yes, as Christmas approaches, Paula reluctantly accepts the marriage proposal.
I reluctantly accept this marriage proposal, and then I sort of vanish to my aunt's house in Nantucket to sort of talk through this because I'm a bit of a mess over it, and she can tell. And it's there that the story really kind of. We won't tell you anymore, but starts. But Giles Patton, plays that guy. And he, you know, he's throughout it. He doesn't just disappear. So I will leave that.
Great. We're excited. We really love him. He was an amazing interview. It was really fun. So that's very exciting. So what was it like having Kathy Lee Gifford play your aunt? Is that right? She's your aunt?
It was amazing. Me and Kathy got along so well. It was incredible. I think she came on about the third or fifth day of filming and traveled with us to Gibson's. And she is the most fun, loving person you have ever met.
She's got more energy.
Yeah, she's magnetic. She just
she truly is.
There's this like she's 66 and we lost her actually on the ferry coming home from Gibson's.
What?
And we're like, where's Kathy? And I was like calling her, couldn't was like, is she going to be okay? You know, like, she's never been on this ferry before. I feel like 30, 40 minutes later, she shows up with like a platter of French fries for everybody and drinks. And like, we were like, where have you been? And she was doing this for like,
she was standing in line in the ferry cafeteria everybody. Line ordering French fries.
And comes back and is like, yeah, woo, party, you know? And I was just like, she's just so fun. And I actually just spent a week with her in New York at her house and just finished the Today Show. So it was an incredible experience to be able to go and see her work and do her thing and just be with her for an entire week. So she's quite a special lady.
She was the one who was the catalyst for this project, right? It was kind of her initiative and her idea.
She's a producer on it and is very good friends with Louise and Squire. So when Louise and Squire wanted to make this movie, they all kind of partnered up to make it happen. And it's been about 4 years in the making with the three of them to get this movie made. So, yeah.
Because it was on the list last year, and they had announced it at the TCAs. And so we had actually talked about it in our Christmas preview last year. And then it shows up this year. So that was very exciting.
They just didn't have Paul and I last year.
No. That's exactly what happened. They called for a veil. And
I was like, can't do it.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
And a bit of a God wink. And, you know, and then they just, it finally a little fog storm rolled in and blew us both together. And I'm going to quit right now. Well, I'm behind.
Yeah.
That one went sideways real quick.
So when did you guys shoot this? Was it in the summer?
Yeah, it was at the end of summer.
Like 4 weeks ago.
It felt like summer. It was so hot.
It was hot.
And they literally had 60 tons of snow that they shipped in.
Oh my gosh.
Create a winter wonderland in like what was some of the hottest weeks.
Vancouver was burning.
It was like 85.
I'm not laughing that Vancouver was burning, but it was that hot.
Yeah.
There were a lot of forest fire. It's just a pretty sensitive subject around here actually. And
do you need a second?
Vancouver was very warm. There were days when it was in Gibson's for an entire week. We couldn't see the sun because of the smoke that had rolled in. Mm-hmm. From the forest fires, and we were shooting in like 6 layers of winter clothing.
More than that, we couldn't breathe.
Yeah, we couldn't breathe. It was actually genuinely hard to breathe. Yeah. It burned your lungs. Yeah. It was that bad. It was hot outside. It was smoky, and we were filming a Christmas movie.
In layers and layers and layers, scarves and gloves and clothes.
Because Hallmark likes their scarves and their gloves.
Yeah.
And their heavy
clothes. More scarves and more gloves.
I was wearing three
but
scarves.
I love it.
At one point.
Oh my gosh. How do you
at
like
one time you were wearing three scarves?
Yeah, not all around my neck, but I was wearing three scarves.
Where were they?
Other places.
Like where?
My boots.
Wow.
That was unnecessary. You couldn't see them, but I knew they were there. That was for me. I call it the old hot sweat. You've heard of it. We've all seen the commercials. Carry on.
How do you keep from getting overheated? Just drink a lot of water or
you know what? I'll say like the actually doing the scenes on top of the ice and the snow that they lay down cooled things considerably, but it was, we would look over at any given time and there was like a crew full of people just in shorts and t-shirts. Yeah. Sweating.
The weirdest thing was at night we filmed this scene on a dock and they piled all the snow on it and it like the sun went down and then it was we were doing night shoots and when I was standing on top of the snow I was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
In this weird, like when we were in the snow, you're like freezing and then you step off the snow and you're boiling hot. It's
being in a freezer, like on an ice box or something.
Yeah, it was kind of a, it was.
And also it did feel in those moments, it felt, if you didn't look 7 degrees to the left and saw the entire crew, it felt like Christmas because it was cold.
Yeah.
And there was Christmas decor up. That's and we were fun. Yeah, it was really nice. It actually made it really easy to get kind of lost in the moment because
sing Christmas carols and have snow fights and,
yeah
oh
my gosh that sounds fun. Very cool.
None of those happened in our movie, but
we did that. We had one song. We sang one
no
song.
No dogs, no cats.
No, there was no puppies.
Oh, no cats.
No cats, guys.
Kimberly.
No, sorry. Sorry.
You're going off.
I'm saving that for the sequel with Brandon.
We've been trying. We even made a graphic for 10 Lives of Christmas. We've been doing all
the I spoke to Brandon. It'll
you
happen.
Did?
Oh, I
yes.
did.
All right.
And Paul's going to be in that one too, right?
Yeah. Do you want to play the other guy?
Yes.
Sorry. I tuned out for a minute there. What was the question?
About 9 Lives of Christmas.
10 Lives of Christmas.
Okay, but we're going to have a sequel.
Like a taxi cab driver.
I could do that. I'm a pretty.
Your name could be Gus. And you'd be like, hey.
What am I lying?
Maybe.
Oh, what if my name is Terry?
Maybe Paul could end up with Kimberly's best friend in the movie. I forget her name.
Who's the best friend?
Oh, yeah. Like, you could be like a subsidiary, like.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take it. Yep.
Who could be the best friend?
I'll be a team player.
Yeah. All
right. The best
good.
Friend is Kathy D. Gifford.
Yeah.
We already have chemistry.
I'll be honest. When I was approached to do the movie, and Maiden said, "Oh, they've already signed Kathy Lee Gifford on board," I was like, "I mean, I'm not sure how well we'll play as sort of a 1-2, but you know, she does seem fun. I'll give it a shot."
Hey,
I was on board. I just want to go on record saying I was on board to make that movie.
Yeah.
And then I found out she was playing somebody's aunt, and I was like, yeah. "I guess."
Wow. Wow. That's not only creepy, but
what?
No,
it happens.
It does. Like,
there's not even, I mean, we're not that far apart in age. I'm not as spry as I look.
Oh. You're like 5 years younger than
I have a big birthday coming up next year.
Oh, exciting.
18.
It's 21.
So is this story in any of the Godwinks books, do you know? Or is it
is one of the Godwinks books, yeah.
Oh, it's in one of those. Okay.
It's the first one.
Yeah, I think it was the first.
Okay, cool.
Wow,
great.
We're wrong on that.
Yeah. Don't quote us.
Well, I know the Godwinks Christmas book is coming out on the 28th of October, so I wasn't sure if maybe it was coming from there or where, but anyway, that's interesting.
Who knows?
I can, so if you want spoilers, you can read the Godwinks books, I guess.
Hey, but, come on now, no spoilers.
Right?
No, well, listen, we already talked about Gary and Paula still being together to this day, so.
But the movie could be
a twist ending.
It's just inspired by them, so it could have a twist ending.
Yeah, Gary's half lizard, we find out at the end.
I like zoned out for things. What are you coming
up
with?
Yeah.
All right.
I got this.
Well, we are very excited for the movie, and so, but what we thought we would do, since we've already interviewed both of you guys once before, we thought we'd try something fun and new, and we're going to talk about our top three favorite Christmas movies of, like, all time, so this is very exciting. And
go for it.
The Holiday.
Oh. It's
Cameron Diaz and...
Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Oh my god.
Is it Vince Vaughn?
No, it's
Jack Black and Jude Law.
Jack Black and
Jude Law.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Mine is Die Hard. Number three is nice. Die Hard.
So you're in the that's a Christmas movie camp. The Die Hard's a Christmas.
I think you'll see that I think it takes place at Christmas, right? It's a Christmas movie.
It does, absolutely. Ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. Ho, 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 if it's not Christmas.
Exactly. I can only have so many sort of traditional Christmas movies on the list, and Die Hard is my number three. It's not my number one. That would be crazy.
Right.
You got you go ahead. I want to hear these three.
All right. So my number three choice is Charlie Brown Christmas, because just, I love animation, first of all, and I love the music, and I love Charlie Brown because he's such an honest character. He's so truthful about his emotions, and his, I think the moment at the end with Linus citing Luke 2 is really great, and it's just a really lovely little movie.
Agreed.
So, Amber, what's your number three?
Okay, so my number three is Christmas in Connecticut, which is an old-timey movie.
I don't know
if you've seen it, but it's amazing. It has Barbara Stanwyck in it, and, you know, she's pretending to be someone she's not, so it's great. I love movies where people are lying, so.
Oh, Amber, I can't wait to hear what your number one is.
Why?
I'm just putting it out there.
Well, this is the thing. We talked about this before the movie, before the podcast. I was like, honestly, Nine Lives of Christmas is going to be on my list. I feel like that's pandering, so I had to take it off, and we did only non-Hallmark movies.
You just missed the spit take that happened over here. Kimberly, you literally did a spit take.
Oh, no.
When you said that.
Let you down. Literally. Okay. But Christmas in Connecticut is hilarious, and everybody should see it because it was like the first Christmas romantic comedy, I feel like. It really set the stage, and it's very good.
And I would love for you guys to remake that on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Christmas
in Connecticut.
I feel like every time we have an interview, ladies, like 3 months later, something happens. So let's just do our next project. I know we're trying the 10 lives, but, and we're also trying to do the like Hallmark All-Star Christmas movie. Remember that one that we were talking about?
It's our dream. It's our dream to have a Firehouse movie someday.
And also the like ladies' night movie, remember?
Yes.
Like, it was going to be good. Okay.
So, all right. Ladies' night.
Okay, so number two, let's just do two and one. Okay, two for me is Bridget Jones.
Oh, yes. Oh. Excellent.
Which takes place, the first one, at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Love that movie. Very funny.
And then my number one, can I just go right to my number one?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Love Actually.
Oh, so good.
That's my number two. Love Actually is my number two.
Oh, well, what's your number one?
Love Actually is my number two, actually. Oh. I love it.
Actually.
Number one is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, ooh. Okay. Yeah.
Chevy Chase. Yeah. As finest. Yeah. He's in his element. Fletch, also yes, but Christmas Vacation, for sure. I've seen it many, many times.
Very good. Yeah, it's very funny. Can't go wrong. I love when she starts saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That's probably my favorite.
Extraordinary moments. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Grace. So, okay. Well, my number one and two, I guess we're going for it. My number two is Home Alone. Home Alone was the first movie to ever like really make me laugh hard. I went to see it when I was 9 and with my grandparents. I was in the theater and I was just dying laughing, and I just love it. And I think it has really good heart and it's really sweet along with being funny. And yeah, so that's my number two.
It is a classic.
Yeah. And then my number one is pretty much any version of Christmas Carol. It's pretty hard to do it wrong for me, although some do. But Scrooge is good. I like Scrooge. I like the Muppets. I like Mickey. I really like Christmas Carol. But if I had to pick, my favorite is from 1951. It's called Scrooge. It's with Alistair Sims. It's really beautifully made, beautifully shot. He's really great as Scrooge. And they do some backstory to Scrooge, which I really think they just nail it. They do a really good job. And it's one of the only ones to really get crazy Scrooge right. Because I love it when he comes back and Scrooge is like a madman, like with glee and excitement. I love that. And most of them like tone that down, and I'm like, don't tone it down, dial it up. And yeah. And so I really do love Christmas Carol. I just love the story of redemption, and there's no lost causes in life, that everybody's potential to be redeemed and change their life. And so I love it.
Love it.
I think it's a great choice. I'm changing my list. Scrooge. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's 1951. It stars Alistair Sims. Anyway, this is my number one. And, it's a really... Okay.
So, go ahead. Amber. All right.
And then I guess my number two is, I chose While You Were Sleeping, because, you great know, one. It's amazing. And then my number one is Bachelor Mother, which is from 1939. It stars Ginger Rogers and David Niven. It's amazing. Yeah. It was remade into Bundle of Joy in the 50s, but Bachelor Mother is the best. So
if you haven't Bachelor seen Mother.
Yeah. I haven't heard of that.
Very cool. Oh, you haven't heard of Bachelor Mother?
We're just kind of sitting here going, I know that Hallmark movies weren't supposed to be on the list, but we're just like, why weren't ours on the list?
Yeah, I sort of just feeling a little bit.
I'm like a little jilted, like a little bit.
I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, you know?
I'm not angry, but like the next time I do a Christmas movie, I might not do a Hallmark interview.
No. Yeah.
This is the thing.
I think Blindside.
I felt like it would be too pandering to put them on the list.
Would it though?
When have I ever said no to pandering?
That is true.
My middle name is Please Pander.
Just kidding, ladies. That's great.
The number one of Amber's heart. So
keep going. Please don't. I'm kidding.
No joke. Like 3 weeks before Godwinks was like announced and the cast list was announced, I made like a mock-up fake poster for some Twitter thing of you guys starring in some made-up movie, and I feel like I manifested you starring in Godwinks.
Can you send us that?
I mean, I'll
tell you. The word you're looking for is Godwink.
Really?
This whole thing has come full circle.
Did you know that Godwink is actually a word in the dictionary now? I found this out in doing my research. It's a real word. Yeah.
Which dictionary? Oxford?
I don't know. Just the dictionary online. It's not like the urban dictionary. It's like the real dictionary. Like, they say an event or personal experience often identified as coincidence, so astonishing that it's seen as a sign of divine intervention, especially when perceived as the answer to a prayer. So there you go.
I love it.
Please send us that little mock-up you did for Twitter, whatever that, the thing of us in a movie together. I desperately want to see what that was.
Yeah, get that to us. That's amazing.
I mean, it's not amazing. I'm not.
You ladies are doing some great work, so just keep.
Well, thank you.
Can you mock me up in 11 Lives of Christmas with Kathy Lee Gifford? Because I think I want to start planning a couple years ahead here. And you seem to be the people to talk to about this stuff.
Honest, we'll just have to, Amber, you'll just have to put out more sort of fake posters and positive vibes out there.
I don't know if I can put out more without being like a crazed fan. So.
What are you gonna do? That's funny.
Well, you're getting it done. We appreciate it. We appreciate both of your enthusiasm for this movie. We're actually both really excited to see it.
Very cool. Well, we love you guys so much. And this was just, this is right, Amber, in our like podcast experiences. We got to interview both Kimberly Sustin and Paul Campbell at the same time. This is just
like, I honestly maybe kind of think that I died in my plane crash a couple weeks ago and I am alive in this weird alternate universe where miracles happen, because like it's just like a dream come true. I know you guys think I'm being false and whatever, but like legitimately you're my favorite people on the Hallmark channel, so anyway,
that's incredibly sweet.
I want to see that poster, and I think you are the sweetest,
loveliest.
Seriously, thank you.
This has been a hoot.
Well, good. Well, we agree. Well, how can people find you on, like, social media or all that fun stuff?
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram as Paul Campbell Official and on Twitter as The Paul Campbell, not to be confused with Not The Paul Campbell.
Really?
Probably.
Is there a guy that's on there that's like that?
I would imagine.
Oh, really?
Don't get us confused. And Kimberly can be found at the local grocery store.
Thanks.
Asking for change.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Story.
It's my name.
Kimberly Tustin.
Yeah.
Kimberly Tustin. Great. Awesome. We'll have that all in the description section. You can check that out. And Amber, where can people find you?
As always, I'm at Amber Brainwaves on Twitter, and that's it.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and YouTube. And make sure you're following the podcast at Homework Reads Pod, Instagram, Twitter, all social media. Please leave your reviews on iTunes. And thanks so much, you guys, for coming on talking to us.
We hope that everybody really enjoys the movie. I think you guys will. I really do.
I think we will, too. Well, should we be able to say Merry Christmas? Yay!
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye, ladies. Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.